Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
It's me.
It's a me, Nolan. And this is Elements. And we're so happy to be here. Elements is our monthly bonus episode brought to you by our big-hearted patrons who support the show on a monthly basis. You could visit patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information about how you can support the show if you like what you hear. It's interesting to see, like this week, I think someone dropped in Discord and they've been like, hey, I've been a long time lurker, like been listening to you guys for over a year, but just coming in to say hi for the very first time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Sounds like me.
That's what the person said. They said, I'm kind of like Kenny. I'm just a lurker here. So I do think that we know you're out there, guys. We know you're out there.
We see you.
Come
That's
in.
Creepy, Nolan.
Come say hi. Come support.
That's creepy.
Along with our patronage, we've got various milestones, various goals, and this series, Elements, is a result of hitting one of those goals a year plus ago.
So if you haven't listened to an Elements episode, this is our chance to just kind of shift up the format a little bit, and instead of taking one old game and dissecting it sort of across the board topically, it lets us focus on one game or often a series of games or one kind of title, one topic of our choosing, and really go a little bit deeper in talking about a specific element of that game and what makes it unique. And it's fun for us in that it opens up outside of the randomizer to us talking about games a little bit more as we feel like, and it also gives us a chance to just dig a little bit deeper, give some more specific opinions about exact instances of why we may like or dislike a game. And so it's a fun change of pace, and we always look forward to it. Hope you guys enjoy that format as well.
And sometimes we focus on a single game, but for this Elements episode, we are doing a deep dive on a series of action platforming video games about an android boy turned into a fighting robot by the name of Rock, or at least originally Rock. The series was developed and published by Capcom and began in 1987 on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Here, over 30 years later, the series spans over 50 games on multiple systems.
That's so unreal.
That's a lot. And they've
50?
Gone... Yeah, 50. So many different directions. I mean, you've played different different versions of this, but...
Yeah, not all of them good, let's be clear.
Well, but some of them great, going branching off and doing different things.
Yeah.
But there's no possible way for us to address all of those 50, and they do it so many different types of ways. What we're doing today is talking about the classic series, which consists of 10 main games similarly patterned as quintessential platformers, where you run, jump, and shoot your way through a number of stages before defeating a series of bosses known as Robot Masters. There are many great characteristics of this classic series, and we'll just focus on one. Join us now as we talk about the gameplay of Mega Man. We're going to take this episode to talk about a few different gameplay decisions in these first 10 classic Mega Man games. And the first one that I want to talk about is simplistic controls. Mega Man is a side-scrolling platforming video game. And you really, especially at the very beginning, you do one of three things. You move to the left or to the right, primarily to the right. You jump, and you shoot.
Pretty simple.
pretty simple. And that's really basically how it starts off. Now, you probably know, but Mega Man doesn't carry around a gun. Although I think in the original box art, it was like a grown man that did. Yeah,
we shouldn't talk about the original box art, though. That was a travesty.
Bad. It was really like a bad dude, like just a normal looking person that looks like he's just wearing a blue helmet and a pistol.
But I do think he has a gun, but yeah. Thankfully Mega Man is more of a little android boy and he doesn't have a gun. He's got, well, he does, but it is a blaster from his right hand.
I think it changes.
Does it really?
I think it might have changed once in the series from left to right. I don't know.
Well, he does shoot primarily. I mean, that is his weapon. And it in the original games, it's this little pea shooter. Like very, yeah. If you think pea shooter, it's this little energy beam that goes across the screen, and you can rapidly tap your shooting button so that it shoots in succession. But at the beginning, you don't have any kind of charge, any kind of upgrade. You just have that little pea shooter.
Yeah, and if we're speaking of just how you control him, think of the NES controller, because that's what it started off on. You've got a D-pad and you've got two buttons.
Yeah. Literally, you've got A and B. And so later on in the series, other moves are added. Your little Mega Man does have some additional abilities and move sets later on. But the base game is built on those three things. And what is not only, in my opinion, that's great, because what you have here and what you must have in platforming video games is tight and predictable controls. And the more types of abilities you try to add into that scenario, the more dicey that it all becomes. With three primary things going on here, moving, jumping, and shooting, they were able to really fine-tune those so that you feel at all times like you have complete control of your character.
And I think it's so smart of them to go with the simple design, because it's really inviting and anyone can pick up this game and understand the controls. And at that point, you could start focusing on the other beautiful aspects of the Mega Man series, the enemies, the way you navigate the stage. So like having controls that you don't have to like sit there, study and learn for more than a minute is brilliant. And the fact that they kept that the same through the first, you know, the classic games, all 10 of them. It's like they understood that. And so it's really cool that they didn't try to make it complex.
And I think a good game with good gameplay eventually gives you the feeling of, I'm definitely getting better at this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And with these one-to-one responsive controls, if you suck and if you're not doing good, that's on you. But also, conversely, your success in this game is fully dependent on you. That there's not a lot of randomization in this game. It's patterns and it continues, like it sets it up to be like, it's difficult, very difficult. But the thing is, the more you play it, you are most certainly going to get better. Again, I think it all goes back to and begins with at least these simplistic controls.
So I think there's something pretty unique about the original Mega Man games, especially for the time that they were released, in that in platforming games and most video games around this time on the NES, you have levels, correct? Mario goes from stage to stage, and it's linear, and you progress through the game and you beat it. There's one way to do it. Mega Man allows you to choose the order in which you want to go through the game.
Brilliant.
Which is really unique for the time, and I still think it's unique because, like, for a platformer, it shouldn't give you that freedom, but it did. And it allowed for a lot of really cool things. So, when you start up Mega Man, you go to the main screen, Mega Man is in the middle, and you have 7 squares, 8 squares around Mega Man's head. And those squares are the bosses, the different robots that you end up fighting and their respective stages. So you can look and say, I want to go do Snake Man stage first. Or you don't have to at all. You can go do Magnet Man stage first. Like, it gives you that freedom, which is pretty cool.
And I really think this is one of the original multipath games like that. Even today, like you said, I still think that today you've got some options, but you're still limited. Like, I'm even thinking of modern platformers. They give you some kind of decisions to make of what stages you're going to do. But really, even if they're doing that, they're giving you a selection of maybe two or three. They still want to funnel you one direction, you know?
Yeah.
But right. Here, you can play in so many different ways, and you can play it in so many different ways each time you play it.
Yeah, that's the thing I wanted to point out, is that it gives the game so much replayability.
So much, yeah.
Because not only are the order you're doing your levels different, and we'll start talking about some of these other elements as we get to them, but because as you progress through the levels, your abilities are changing based on the levels that you go on, it means that there's strategy to be thought about. It means that there's decisions to be made about when and how and why you do these things, and you can make things easier for yourselves or more challenging. And for as simple as that idea was, the amount of replayable value they got out of that choice was massive.
And not only do you have these abilities and power-ups that you get throughout that can help you on the stages, in later iterations of the classic Mega Man series, you can not only use your abilities to do damage to enemies, but you can use them to affect the stage. I don't know if you guys knew that, or if you've played some of the later games in the series, but you can use...
Please.
You can use some of your boss abilities that you get for your Buster weapon, and you can modify the stage, or you can find certain secret areas. Or, for example, I think there's one in particular where I think this is it. Maybe there's a lot of lava or something. And if you have the ice weapon, then you can freeze the lava, which will allow you to traverse much easier across that level.
You think I'm a schmuck? Of course I knew that.
I know that you know that. Kenny and I probably haven't played as many Mega Mans. You've been, Nolan, a huge Mega Man fan.
Oh, I love
for
this
a long
series.
Time.
I'm a fanboy for sure.
But I just love that they even, the ability upgrades that early on in the series you only use really you could use them in the stages, but primarily you're using them against other bosses. But
right.
Later on in the series, you're using them to deal with the stages in a better way. And all of that goes to kind of what order are... So that's the big question, right? What order are you going to play these stages in?
And there's no agreement on what's... For a lot of people, it's a lot of preference as to how they want to go through it and what's easiest or what's best or most efficient. And so that's fun that that's ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
So outside of... how neat it is that they've kept the game pretty simple to pick up, learn, and control. Outside of going in and getting to choose your levels, I wanted to talk a little bit about how they designed kind of the innate setup, the innate abilities that Mega Man has in the games. Now, as the series progresses, and as the series is spun off into other series, that kind of base set of expectations of what your character gets changes a little. But Dustin, you already talked about how simple some things are, but I wanted to point out that even in its simplicity, they set you up with some really good things innately. So, for example, the fact that, and I'm always a fan of this, but the fact that this is a game design that gives you the health bar and not just lives is massive to the gameplay of this
game.
Yeah, it's huge. It allows you to be like looking for your little, you know, your little pellets of life or mm-hmm. energy, both. You know, you've got bars for both of those things, but it makes it less punishing, more replayable, gives you some more strategy, lets you approach boss fights versus, you know, the normal sort of piece of the level well. And I think that's one that really sticks out for me. And then I also love how they give you some. And again, some of these come later in the series. Like, you get Rush in Mega Man 3, I believe, for the first time.
Don't just throw his name out there without talking about him a
lot. Oh, yeah. If people don't know who Rush is, your little robo-helper dog, who is just kind of the best thing since I don't know, since a plasma gun for an arm, you know?
Like, you'll never be sad when he shows up on the screen.
No, he's wonderful. And he takes your character from, like, oh, I can do a few basic things, to, oh, I can get to a lot of places I couldn't get with my little rush coil bounce deal. I can deal with water by, you know, turning into a submarine. I can fly around when I need to
skip the whole stage.
Some obstacles to, to skip really important stages, or, you know, like, and it's really simple moves, but it adds to your set of feeling like even just the innate abilities that you have are enough to really enjoy the game.
Yeah, and I think even in the core mechanics of Mega Man, so this is a run-and-gun game, if not one of the most original ones out there. Like, when I think run-and-gun, I think Mega Man. So the run aspect of that is quite literally Mega Man running, but you can jump at different heights. So
yeah, it's like, so responsive.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, you feel in control. It's very hard. Some of the platforming is very difficult and challenging, but like Dustin said, it's you. You need to understand Mega Man's mechanics. Oh, I need to hold jump longer here to get higher. Oh, I need to do a quick hop right here to get over this enemy really quick. So that is a masterful mechanic in and of itself. So I've always appreciated how much they pack into just simply running and jumping. Like, it shouldn't be this robust, but it feels like it once you play it.
Well, and here's what is cool. The last point we just talked about proves this next point, because you can go in and you can take on any of the original bosses and beat them with no upgrades, with just what you're given. It may be tougher in some cases than others, but you can get through every single one of the levels with the stuff they give you to start. And with how many upgrades they have, they didn't have to do it that way, but they gave you everything you needed, and it was done masterfully.
In Mega Man, if you're trying to do a whole like podcast or video game series about the classic Mega Man games, you've got to be a little nitpicky if you're comparing and contrasting, because there's not, outside of some of the very last ones, there's not a lot of drastic differences there. But the cool thing that you can tell with Capcom and the creators here is that they're not going for that. Like, they had something that really worked, and they realized that in Mega Man 2 around there. And so they wanted to do small tweaks here and there that wouldn't affect the platforming ability, that wouldn't affect some of the things we've already talked about, simplistic controls and the non-linear level select and some of those things and some of the other things we're going to be talking about, while still doing slight edits here and there that improved the gameplay. And so if you play these games, the story doesn't change much. It's going to be pretty much the same. It's always Dr. Wily, spoiler alert. The graphics and the audio, it's not going to change much. Granted, there's some 7 and 8 definitely do a few upgrades, even necessary upgrades at that time, but what is the change is the gameplay. It has subtle shifts that continues year after year, decade after decade now, to draw in the player. And I think it has to do with these innate abilities in large part, and that they make small subtle shifts. In Mega Man 3, adding the slide mechanic, that did wonders.
So the slide was huge
for the platforming. Then in the very next game, in 4, they finally added the charge, which I wouldn't want to play Mega Man without a charge now, because I just hold down that charge button. I've already played a demo of Mega Man 11, which is an upcoming game we'll talk about a little bit later, but I just hold charge nonstop when I'm running through these stages. Yeah.
You mentioned right there that they weren't trying to change much from game to game, and I'm picturing Mega Man as a series releasing in our modern age, and I think of like the way that Smash Brothers fans receive it. It's like, just give them the Smash game. Like, don't do anything different. They're going to freak out at the reveal trailer. So just, that's how I see them making this series, and it just worked.
So the next gameplay kind of feature that I would like to talk about is just the Buster upgrades, which is core to any of the Mega Man games from 1 all the way through. Really, that's kind of one of the central mechanics here, in that, yes, you do have your little pea shooter, but we've referenced it a couple times. After you fight the bosses in every Mega Man title, classic at least, you gain their ability. So all of these bosses are themed one way or another, and they have certain moves that are not just a pea shooter. When you defeat them, your arm gun upgrades, and then you are able to use some of those abilities. And so, I mean, it would be fun to be able to go through a lot of these abilities or talk about your favorite abilities. But once you have these abilities, you're able to switch between them really at any time, boss battle or traversing through the stage. And you can use these different abilities. So they're not trying to do anything creative here. If you fight and kill the boss Proto Man, you get his Proto Shield. If you fight and kill the boss Snake Man, you get his ability Search Snake.
I want to say, you say that's not creative, but the weapons that they give you and the diversity there, it to me was so creative, because there's a limited amount of things that they can let you do with these weapons, and they do it all, from like some weapons that kind of are sort of AoE to certain weapons that specifically hit above or below you or that have strength versus certain enemies.
Yeah.
But like, there's only so many things you could do.
Right.
And they have a series of games where there's a little bit of overlap, but they give you unique feeling upgrades through all of them. And that's totally creative in my mind.
Yeah, so don't get me wrong. I do think what I was meaning when I said that was two different things. One, it's their name changes aren't that creative. You're fighting Flame Man and you get like Flame...
Oh, sure.
Flame Missile or whatever it is. Flame Gun. And so the names aren't that creative. And then what I am saying is that eventually they are doing a lot of copy-pasting, just changing the name and changing the look. But sure. Like you said, Kenny... You're limited. There's only so much you can do, and with 8 new abilities each game, that's just, you're gonna have to get some rinse and repeat.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the Buster upgrades are integral. Like, this is the thing, and yeah, this is everything. Like, this is the Mega Man series, and I have to imagine that, and I don't know this, but I'm guessing that the original creators, the idea of the Mega Man series had to be like, hey, let's make a game where you get the boss's ability and then you go fight other bosses. Like, this is Mega Man, and so yeah. It was always really cool to play these games for the first time and then get that weapon, and that feeling of having that in the next stage is, like, there's nothing like it, because then you feel, like, super strong, or you might not if it's a crappy weapon.
Right, and some
if,
of
if your route's terrible and you're playing for the first time and don't know it. Yeah.
Some of them are just not as good as others, and some people have issues with this. I love it, but in a lot of these early Mega Man games, you have got one weapon that just trounces all of the other competition.
Yeah, and the saw
that
blade.
it is like super effective against multiple bosses, and that it's super effective even in level traversal. And so, like, my absolute favorite is Mega Man's 2 Metal Blade. Once you get that, it doesn't take much energy. By the way, all of these are energy dependent, and so you can get these power ups.
It's pretty spammable. It like it totally changes where you can shoot and the direction you can shoot, and is super strong. It's insane. It's way overpowered.
Yeah, but but that Metal Blade, although it depletes slower, all of these abilities are limited in their ammo, and you have to continue to get ammo for that. So, but again, super smart design, and that they want you to use different abilities. They don't want you to just use the Metal Blade and easy win against the game.
Yeah,
you know, right. And so they give you limited ammo. They want you to switch between. They want you to use different weapons. And I say weapons, most are weapon upgrades, but some are shields, and even some end up being like mobility abilities. Mm-hmm. Mobility abilities. And so it just, again, trying to get creative when you have to do 8 different ones each game for like 10 games so far. That's 80 different, and they can't all be completely different, but they do give you a lot of interesting ones, like Hard Knuckle from Hard Man.
they do an amazing job of it, though, considering
Hard Knuckle.
I mean, it's a good move.
That's a great transition into what I want to talk about next, and that is specifically the boss fights and how they work in the Mega Man series. So we kind of touched on it. You get these upgrades from beating a boss, and yes, you can go through the game only using your original pea shooter, but...
You shouldn't.
You should not, because if you've played Mega Man, you know that it's very, very difficult to beat a boss with your pea shooter. One of them will be a little weaker to it, And that's probably the first one you should go for. But if you go to fight another boss when you use a pea shooter, you're doing like half a bar of damage per hit, and you're getting like, these boss fights aren't easy. So the way they solve for that, and the whole point of doing the upgrades, is that this rock, paper, scissors boss battle mechanic, in that one boss's upgrade will be another boss's weakness, and it will do crazy damage, and you'll be like, oh, I got this. So that's another really important thing, and kind of goes along with what I was talking about in the non-linear level select, and how you choose to go through the game. And if you don't have a guide, you don't know where to go.
Right. Can we just... I've known that Mega... It's kind of just settling with me right now, because we know Mega Man's good. We've talked about Mega Man before. We've played Mega Man 2 and 3 on this podcast.
Yeah. And 10, or Mega Man X.
Oh, and X. Yeah. Which is Mega Man, but a slightly different series than kind of what we're talking about this time. But what's settling right now is like... As we're talking about some of these gameplay mechanics, it's brilliant. They didn't just do one brilliant thing. They did a few. And I just, first of all, brilliant to begin with, but then to know that those are good things and then to stay on those and be the best at the best of doing those things, that's what's so smart. You didn't have to go new and crazy with each new game. And that's what a lot of game developers are doing today. They knew what worked, and they knew that they had, that they could do it the best. And so they stuck with it. And I think that's so brilliant.
Yeah,
because like with this boss battle, you've got, okay, so in the first game, I don't know if you know, but instead of 8 in the very first game, you only have 6. But I'm sorry, I feel like you think that I am continuing to talk about your Mega Man knowledge.
You're excited about the game. No one's going to blame you.
But in the rest of them, they've got 8. So you've got 8 different boss battles, and as the series progresses, the bosses get a lot faster, a lot more difficult, and they have increased cycles in their AI, and so they become a lot more difficult to learn, and so you most certainly need the abilities that are good against them.
And this would be kind of tough, if especially think about playing these games for the first time, you know, back NES era, pre-internet, there's no guides onto how to traverse these non-linear levels and find the right boss moves to find the right bosses. But thankfully, they stay on point with their theming pretty well. If you're trying to pass a fire-based boss and he's trouncing you every time, then you can go back and look for a level that gives you an ice skill, for example, and see if you can have a slightly easier time beating that boss, because you know that there's a good chance that the ice and fire are going to be effective against each other, or one for the other. And so... Even playing it blind, even without actually knowing, you know, which boss things work well, because they theme it so well, you're going to be able to do some strategy and say, I'm going to beat that level so that I can beat that boss, and then kind of naturally flow through that progression pretty easily, I think.
However, there's going to be some that you just don't know, and so a lot of it's trial and error. And that's a lot of the replay value in this game, is that you're not supposed to beat it your first time through. You're supposed to play this game over and over again, get familiar with the levels, get familiar with the bosses, get familiar with their abilities, and then you try their abilities on certain enemies, and eventually you're going to try one and be like, oh my goodness, that just did so much damage to that boss.
Yep.
And then you'll kind of start building your own cycle of what stage order, what boss order to go in, because it gives you an advantage against the enemies.
And thankfully, the Mega Man series used the password system, so you could kind of save your progress. So you could like beat a boss that was really challenging for you, and then you would get a password to continue from there. So that helps with the trial and error. You didn't have to start all the way over.
Now, you may have never played these games, and you may be saying to yourself, okay, I defeat 8 stages and 8 bosses, and I beat the game. That doesn't sound like a lot, and is kind of boring. But as much as they keep everything simple, that's never actually quite the case. You get past all your initial bosses, which gives you your whole suite of upgrades. And then depending on which game you're going through, you get some more story, quote unquote, there's not a lot, but some more levels to play through. And then you get to a stage, to an element that is, I think, really unique and worth us talking about. And that is, as you're trying to beat the game fully, you get to this place where you have to do a boss rush, where now you've beat all of these bosses on their own with whatever weapons you just have at the time. And now, to get to the big boss, you got to go through, redefeat the entire suite of bosses, but with you having all of your abilities unlocked. And I think that's so genius, because A, it not only brings another level of challenge and difficulty and gives you, you know, something you have to shoot for, but lets you do some of that learning and experimenting about what moves work on who without having to go back and do that exhaustive replay, you know, 47 different times. And it's a challenge and it's fresh and it's an easy way for them to use things they've already built and yet, I don't know, add one more level of complexity within simplicity. And I think the boss rush thing was a really, really wise choice for them to make.
I mean, it became a staple, right? Like,
yeah,
of the Mega Man series, but also like other games borrowed this concept because it was such a good idea. Like in the end game of a lot of platformers after this, there was a boss rush.
Yeah, and can't you see in your mind's eye, I know it wasn't in every single Mega Man game, but Mega Man standing amidst all of those teleporters on that mm-hmm. kind of like pre-boss rush screen where yeah. you go to the different teleporter and then you go to the kind of the boss battle for that one. I see that, I envision that, and it's in multiple ones of these classic Mega Man games, and it just became a staple. And you fight them one after another, and in a lot of these, you don't get full health and full power up after. That's the challenge here, is that you're trying to conserve your energy, conserve your health, and your abilities so right. that you can use them against the right bosses at the right time.
Strategize which moves you're going to use against which bosses. If you need a really hard boss that you got to save a certain set of skills for to get past, that you can save that. And so it adds this kind of meta strategy to the game besides just being able to button smash well. And it's also really, for me, it was also really, really fun to go back and whichever boss you fought first, the one that you had to run in and fight with nothing but your normal gun, to be able to go back and fight him again and yeah. just be like, look at what I've got now, and take him out super easy. There was something just really vindictively satisfying about that for me.
And after the boss rush, though, you still have to fight Wily, too. So, like,
right.
these games are not easy. We've tried to get that point across, I think. It's a hard game to beat.
We haven't said it explicitly, but I think it's worth doing because, like, these are capital H hard. Classic yeah. old video game hard.
Well, when we talked about a lot of the mechanics, we didn't even like focus heavily on the platforming. We mentioned it's a platformer, but I mean, what are we going to talk about there? That like there's disappearing platforms and that you're jumping into big pits.
That it's genius level design.
Yeah, and some, they give some you is completely just unforgiving, and I'll stick to that. But I do think that this is just one of the things. Some people might say, oh, they're just padding the length of their games. I definitely don't think that. I think they're giving you one other chance. They've given you all of the boss abilities now, and they're saying you should have learned, take what you learned, and use it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, and it makes it so much more rewarding when you do beat the game, because you're like, they tried to beat me a second time, and I still won. Like, it's such a simple design, everything that we've talked about.
Like,
and
picture it in like a movie or something. Like, it's not only because in when you're playing through the first 8 stages, you're beating a boss and then you've got rest time, right? You're going through another level, yeah. you're getting to your boss. Not only can you beat them all separately, but is what you just realized at the very end is now that you're so powered up that you can beat all of them one after another.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy.
And so rewarding, man.
It's so rewarding. And I've got to add this here because I absolutely loved it when we played Mega Man 3. That after the Mega Man 3 boss rush where you fight all the bosses from Mega Man 3, they do a little throwback and you get to fight all of the bosses from Mega Man 2. Do you guys remember
so
that?
So good. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
The personal touch and just like the throwback is like that just shows that the development teams behind these games loved the character, loved the series, and respected the fans. And I feel like we've lost a lot of that nowadays. But, you know, I'm hopeful for Mega Man 11. I think it's going to be fun and such a good series.
Yeah, and they figured out what worked, and they stuck with it. They did simple things in really creative ways that interact with each other to make it more of an experience than just a platformer that didn't give you some of those better choices. And yeah, there's a reason it's as iconic as it is, and that they've made 50 plus of various versions of these games, because they found a formula that works, and it really works.
In 1987, the first Mega Man game came out, and then number 8 finished in, like, came out in 1996. Many years later, 9 and 10 came out in 2008 and 2010. Why couldn't we done 2009 and 2010? I don't know.
Oh, that's frustrating.
That's the last one in this classic Mega Man series. There's some additional games there, but the last core classic Mega Man game. Nolan, you just brought up, and I think it's a good kind of place for us to end, is that here on October 2nd, so we're recording this September 26th, here in less than a week, the newest classic Mega Man entry comes out in Mega Man 11.
Man, I have it pre-ordered. It will be on my doorstep on that day. I've played the demo, and here's the thing. They could have really messed this up, and they still might. I mean, I've only played one level. But, I mean, they didn't try to... Look, we've talked about them keeping that same formula, and it's there. Yep. It's there. They added two new little things that are questionable, but they're fine. You don't have to use them, really. So... I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and again, those are things that you either don't have to use, or they're not game breaking or game changing as far as we know so far. But they kept the eight robot masters. They kept a lot of the design, some of the music. They did change up the graphic style a little bit, but we're 8 years in the future from where we last left this series. This game's coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One, and we're definitely going to be playing it. Nolan, you're planning on streaming some?
Absolutely. I will be streaming that night that it comes out on my Switch.
And so you're going to want to follow along with that. I assume that's going to be on twitch.tv/NGP podcast. I'll definitely be in there watching you day and night, because one, this is a highly anticipated game. And then two, you're crazy good at these kinds of platform video games, and I wouldn't want to watch anyone else play this game for the very first time, so I'm excited for you to get it, and excited for you guys that are listening to this episode right now to join us on our Twitch channel, really starting that night, October 2nd, that Tuesday?
Yep, that's the plan.
All right. We truly hope that you enjoyed this bonus episode, gameplay of Mega Man, the classic Mega Man series. We thanked our patrons at the top of the episode, but we want to always give a special shout out to our producers, those that support us at the highest level. That is Zion, Gimbarino, and Phil. Thank you guys for your support. Join us for our regular episodes where we talk about a particular retro video game each and every week, talking about the good, the bad, the ugly of said game, and how it's aged for today. Until next time, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been another bonus episode of New Game Plus.